Today I want to continue from where we left off last week. When the Lord, today is part two. Father, breathe on your word. Holy Spirit of God, increase our knowledge, our wisdom. Help us to behold wondrous and marvelous things in your word. And that this word will transform our lives. And we will testify of your goodness. And we will testify of a great turnaround. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to beg you again, please don't be lackadaisical when it comes to the things of God. Do not be. All right. Our key scripture we took from Psalms 126. Psalms 126 from verse 1. Let's quickly read. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, the Lord Almighty God is the greatest factor and most important constant in great turnaround stories. I can talk about Abraham and Sarah. It was God who gave them a great turnaround. I can talk about Isaac. Isaac had a great turnaround when God told him to sow in the same place in spite of the famine, and he reaped a hundredfold. What about Jacob? Jacob experienced so many turnarounds. And what of Joseph? Joseph from the pit to prison to palace. What a great turnaround. We know of David, the shepherd boy. From a shepherd boy in the backside of Judea to a giant killer. And then the king of Israel. A great turnaround. We remember the story of Jabez, who also had a great turnaround, mentioning a few in the Old Testament because time will fail me to keep mentioning. We can read them from Genesis through to Revelation. Let's touch some in the New Testament because the list is endless anyway. A young virgin who never knew a man, becoming a vessel to bath our Savior. A great turnaround. Bartimaeus, the former blind beggar, he received a great turnaround. What about that man at the pool of Bethesda? He received a great turnaround. The madman of Gadara. What a great turnaround. An evangelist was locked up in him. The devil gave him madness so that he wouldn't evangelize. What about the woman with the issue of blood? A great turnaround. What about Mary and Martha who received Lazarus back from the dead? A great turnaround. Brethren, like I said, the story goes on and on and on. And you that are listening to me this morning and watching on Facebook or any social media where you're watching us. If you are truly born again, you already have a great turnaround. Hallelujah. A great turnaround from darkness to light. And only God can do it. I'm talking about the turnarounds that only God can do. And I know that God who saved you, who saved me, is able to do much more. For you, for me, for our families. Anytime God gets involved, there's always a major turnaround in anybody's life, in anybody's destiny. The scripture we read In Psalm 126, I'm going to look at three major scriptures because there's a kind of progression where we see the constancy of God, where we can trace God in the situation. How do we start? Where do we start from in order to experience a great turnaround? How do we know that only God can give us a great turnaround? I remember I was reminding one of my sons the other day. Almost 10 years ago, or more than 10 years or thereabout, when we needed to move from where we are before we bought this property, I remember we had a 30-day fast. And our prayer was, Lord, take us to our turning point. I don't know how many of us still remember. Lord, take us to our turning point. And that was the only prayer we prayed. And God brought us here. And God miraculously gave us this building. That same God who did it 10 years ago for a turning point is able to do it for you, for me, for our families this year, a turnaround. And not just a turnaround, it's going to be a great one. Even before this year is over, if you believe it, shout a good amen. Amen. Let's flip a page and go to Psalm 125. Psalm 125. Let's see God's factor. Verse 1. It says, those who trust in the Lord, not in themselves. Those who trust in the Lord. To experience a great turnaround, you have to start with what? Trusting in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Not any mount, but Mount Zion. The principles of God are unbreakable. The word of God is unbreakable. It says the Mount Zion that cannot be removed, but abides forever. The Lord who cannot be removed, but abides forever. You start with trusting in that God. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. That is the damage of the church. Leaning on our own understanding. He says, in all your ways acknowledge him. What will he do? He will direct your paths. Romans 10:11. Because we use scripture to answer scriptures. He said, for the scripture says, Romans 10:11, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Those who trust in God will never be put to shame. Those who trust in God will experience a great turnaround. So I repeat again, the path to a great turnaround starts with trusting God. The things God say you may not see, but trust him. Did he not say that my sheep know my voice? What does it mean to trust in God? It can have several meanings, but because of time, I'll only speak about one. To trust in God means to wait on God. To wait on God. And you and I know that that is a major issue for us, waiting. If you look at Psalm 25 quickly, Psalm 25 and verse 3, what does it say about waiting? He says, indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. That is to say, those who wait on God will not be put to shame. Those who wait on God for a great turnaround will not be put to shame. Those who wait on God for a great turnaround because they trust in Him will not leave empty-handed. And I prophesy to somebody, as you are trusting in the Lord, as you have been waiting on the Lord, you will not go empty-handed. In the name of Jesus. Look at Psalm 27 and 14 quickly. Psalm 27 and verse 14. He says, wait on the Lord. If you trust Him, wait on Him. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. I say, wait on the Lord. So waiting on the Lord means it is a matter of time. I am waiting because it is a matter of time. But surely He will show up. I speak to somebody today. Your waiting on Him will not be in vain, because God will surely show up for you in the mighty name of Jesus. He will turn your mockery to laughter in the name of Jesus. So therefore, when you now flip from there and you go to Psalm 126 and verse 1, because it's a matter of time, trusting in Him. So all I'm expecting is God stepping in. And the psalmist said, when the Lord steps in, when the Lord turn again, the one who turned it before is able to turn it again. Not just one. See, he can turn it again and again. He can turn it again and again and again and again and again and again until He wearies your enemy, until He wearies your mockers. He will lift up your head. If you believe it, shout a good amen. Amen. So the Lord shows up for those who wait on Him. The Bible says in Isaiah 30 and verse 18. Therefore, watch this. He says, therefore, even the Lord Himself will wait. Why will the Lord wait? To see if you will wait. Hallelujah. Jesus waited. Praise the Lord. Samuel waited. Hallelujah. He says, therefore the Lord will wait, that He may be gracious to you, and therefore He will be exalted, that He may have mercy on you. You see, that thing you are believing God for, you think it's for you alone. Even God Himself wants to be glorified in it. God wants to take glory in it. That's why He will have to do it. But you have to wait on Him. He said He will be exalted, that He may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Now the end part says what? Blessed, empowered to prosper, empowered to receive a great turnaround, are all those who wait for Him. Blessed are all those who wait for Him. Blessed are all those who are not looking for another alternative. Blessed are all those who do not say there is a salvation somewhere else apart from in Christ Jesus. When the Lord shows up, brethren, and He will show up, things changes. Things changes. Think about it. When the Lord showed up in the upper room where the disciples were gathered together, them and some women, what happened? There was a great turnaround. Timid and fearful people suddenly became so bold. They went out in the open and began to proclaim the gospel, began to declare that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all. They waited. Jesus told them, go and wait. He didn't give them a timetable. He didn't tell them, wait for 3 months. He didn't tell them, wait for 2 weeks. He just said, go and wait until the promise of the Father. Wait until it comes. Because it's going to come. That's what it's saying there. But you got to be there to receive it. Praise the Lord. Everybody gave up on Lazarus. Some came to cry with Mary and Martha, but to mock them. You know, those who will weep, they said they are weeping with you, but tears are not flowing in their eyes. They are smelling the food that they are about to serve. They call it the repast. They are looking for the repast. Hallelujah. But when Jesus showed up, he sent them out. And he brought Lazarus back to life. I want to speak to somebody today. In the name that is above every other name, every hope you have buried, I command that hope to rise again. Can you recall the last time God showed up for you? I can recall many instances that God showed up for my wife and I. I can recall many instances that God showed up for me. I can recall when God showed up in this ministry. There are others who will fake the things that God is. We don't fake anything here. We tell you as it is. We give it to you as it is. It's either you receive it or you leave it. There are those who will deceive people, who will deceive with miracles that never happened. And multitudes will flock there. Especially Africans. Africans have become the object of deception of the devil. Because we think that the only thing we need, as long as pastor prays, I don't need to do anything else. He's a liar. You will work hard. Praise the Lord. Pastor prays on your hard work. Amen. Pastor doesn't pray on your folding of hands. Pastor prays that you receive wisdom to do better things. You are not looking for a job. You are saying the job will come and find you at home. I don't know what will find you. But hunger will surely find you. Hallelujah. Amen. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, God will show up for you. Say, God will show up for you with a great turnaround. Again and again. In Jesus' name. So I have a question or questions for us this morning. Will you be there when God shows up again? Will you be waiting when God shows up? Will you be there when things turn around? Will you be ready? Or you'll be like those 5 foolish virgins who were not ready? Your good news is coming. You don't believe it. I say your good news is coming. Amen. Father, I thank you because my good news is coming. My good news is coming this very week. This very week, oh God, my good news is coming. I pray for somebody. Your good news is coming. This very week, your good news is coming. In the name of Jesus. I know somebody here who expected good news, wanted a change of job, but it seemed not to be coming. But prayerfully waited. I know it will come. And those around us said, we know it's going to come. Don't worry, there's nothing the devil can do about this one. It's going to come. And it came. Oh, you see now, that's how you say amen for somebody who receive a testimony. That's how you say, is that how they are going to say amen when you receive your own testimony? It came. Your good news is coming. Remember the story of the widow and the unjust judge. She never wavered. She never wavered. Even when the man ignored her totally as if she was nobody. To him, she was a nobody. But it got to a point. He had to pay her attention. And do you know what Jesus said? In Luke 18, verse 6 to 8. Even the unjust judge said, I better answer this woman, lest she weary me. But watch this. There's something I'm trying to bring out here. Then the Lord said, Luke 18, 6 to 8. Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry day and night to him? Why will you cry day and night? Because you trust him. Because you know he's the one who will do it. Because you know when he shows up, things will change. Hallelujah. Though he bears long with them, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. But now he asks a question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Will he really find you waiting? Finally, let's look at Psalm 127 and verse 1. We have looked at Psalm 125. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. He says, those who put their trust in the Lord, they will be like Mount Zion. We cannot be moved. And then 126 says, when the Lord, because if you trust him, it's a matter of time for him to show up. Now the psalmist is saying in Psalm 127 verse 1, I said we'll weave a thread and see the God factor in all of it. You want to experience a great turnaround? He says here, unless the Lord. So you and I need the Lord. We need him like never before. Sometimes things that are so simple and easy that are like ABC that are meant to happen now seem not to happen. But will you trust him still? The Lord who said to Abraham that I will give you a son. Abraham found another son. Thinking that God had forgotten. Even his wife laughed and said, is it somebody like me? Whose womb is dead? But it got to a point when God was ready. He said, Abraham did not count himself to be old. Sarah did not say, my womb is weak. Hallelujah. They were ready to receive. Is somebody ready for their turnaround? Are you ready for your great turnaround? The psalmist says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Who build it? You may try. It's okay to try. But you need God's input. If not, it will be done in a crooked way. And one thing I know is anything that is done in a crooked way, it doesn't always end well. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen watch in vain. He says it is silly to stay awake all night, to stay awake in vain. If what you are expecting from God is a lasting impact, then you have to trust Him. Then you have to wait on Him. Then you will know that He will show up. Last week, we looked at those guys who were waiting in the market square. It was in their presence. They called the morning people. They called the mid-morning people. They called the afternoon people. And they were still there, believing and trusting that somebody will come and call them. And they were called. Hallelujah. You will not be overlooked. I say you will not be overlooked. They have overlooked you up till now. From this moment onward, you will no longer be overlooked. I had the testimony of somebody. He said for 17 years, he has been working in this same place and overlooked for a promotion. And suddenly, from the bottom line, he became the assistant manager. So those whom they have elevated before him, now were under him. Praise the Lord. I know somebody here who was working in a job before, and there was a conniving to take the job away from him. And they sacked him from this job. He became jobless. Then he got another job. And this another job, the same people that sacked him now apply for this another job. Now he became their boss. Now he's the one telling them what to do. That will be somebody's testimony in Jesus' name. You know why I'm not mentioning names? Because I didn't ask their permission. And they're here. They're here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So great turnarounds are not by power. They are not by might, but by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. Always put God in your factor. He's the only one who controls the beginning. He's the only one who controls the middle. He's the only one who controls the end. You can't ignore God. Because unless God, others may do it their own way, but guess what? They are going to pay for it. They are going to pay for it. The psalmist said in Psalm 126 and verse 4, I love this part of that scripture. I don't know. Are you getting anything at all? All right. He said, turn again. That's from the King James. He said, turn again. You have turned it before. Turn it again. Turn again our captivity. Give me a new story again. Give me a great turnaround again. It's the turnaround you gave me that brought me this far. Give me another turnaround that will take me to the next step. That will take me to the next level. Somebody say, Father, turn again my captivity. Turn again my captivity. In the name of Jesus. I want you to rise up on your feet. It's not a long message. These days I'm practicing short messages. And you know why? Because very soon we'll be having two services. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say, Father. Come on, say, Father. Whatever The enemy has turned in my life. Let your mighty hand turn it right. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray.